the 9th of September. This is Rabbi Manning Shior.
Just a little prior announcement, just to remind people, two announcements in fact. First of all, in terms of the shiur going forward, Be'ezat Hashem next Wednesday, Tzom Gedalia, there will be a shiur tomorrow, next Wednesday morning, as usual. I'm not sure about Rabbi Adler, I assume he's going ahead as normal. So 9:15 and 10:15 tomorrow after that, we'll have to find out in terms of next Wednesday morning. So there is a shiur next week. 2 weeks from now is Yom Kippur, there will not obviously be a shiur. 3 weeks from now is, 3 weeks from now is Chol HaMoed Sukkot again, but then a month from now, there will, straight after Sukkot, we will resume Be'ezrat Hashem in a brisk way, straight after Sukkot and Simchas Torah, and we will continue then. In a brisk manner, exactly. Second announcement, the lady asked me to announce if there are three gentlemen that are able to stay around a little bit afterwards, there's someone wants to do Hataras Nedarim and a Prosbul, there's probably more than one person, maybe take advantage of that. So if there are people who are around to make an impromptu based in, I apologize, I have to run, I have to already be teaching somewhere else 20 minutes later, but I'm sure that there are people who can oblige. Again, don't forget Prosbul, if people owe you money, now is the time to think about that, and consider whether you want to be mavater on the money or you want to sign a prosbul. You can choose. Today I'd like to think about a topic that I think is very timely. We are approaching the Yemei Hadin, and how does one prepare in some ways to try and be zocher bedin, to try and succeed in whatever way we can in the Yemei Hadin. And Chazal are very clear, you can't make deals. There's no point in trying to make a deal of some kind. You can't make New Year's resolutions. That won't work. And they say it's very straightforward. It's not easy, but it's straightforward. Tshuva, Tzvila, and Tzedakah. These are the ways forward. And in fact, everyone is familiar with the famous Rosh Tevot. Ani Ladodi Badodi Li is Elul, which of course is the from Shir HaShirim, which is the Tefillah, the connection with Hashem of Elul. But there are others. The Masa Ephraim brings at the beginning, also for Tshuva, Et Levavcha Ve'et Levav Zarech, which is from this week's Pasha as well, the Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. But there is a third one from Megillas Esther, Ish Lera'ehu Umatalas La'Evyonim. Meaning that is the tzedakah. Meaning another way to approach the Yemei Hadin, as well as tshuva and as well as tefillah, is also tzedakah. It's focusing on Bein Adam L'Chaveru, and we're going to look at one today which involves the whole concept of din. And we will see how the involvement in this mitzvah, Bein Adam L'Chaveru, is hopefully a way of focusing on what din means, and should, please God, be a schus for all of us on Rosh Hashanah too. If you look in number one, you'll see there is a mitzvah in Parshas Kedoshim. Again, so far all of the three mitzvahs we've dealt with have been from the same psukim, the same few psukim. It says, Lo yisa'asu avel b'mishpat. Do not twist judgment. Do not do anything which is twisted in judgment. Lo tisa pneidal. Don't favor the poor because you feel sorry for them. Nebach. You want to find in their favor because they need the money. Don't do that. The loy tehdar pnei gadol, and don't, on the other hand, favor the powerful and the mighty and the rich. That's also not appropriate. But rather, betzedek tishvot amitecha. You must judge amitecha, your friend, betzedek. Tzedek is a word which is often translated as righteousness, but I don't think that's a very good translation because we don't use that word in English very often. I'm a big fan of trying to use words that are real words, not to use words that nobody ever uses. Sometimes in Hebrew we get used to translating a word a certain way and it is not helpful. And there are many examples of that, and tzedek is one of them. Another one is the word to'eva. To'eva, which has nothing to do with this week's shiur, but to'eva is a terribly difficult word to translate, and it comes up, you want to look all the way through Chumash, to'eva comes in many different contexts. It comes in some sexual immorality issues, it comes in cheating in business, it comes in some kashrus issues, it comes in bringing korbonos which are not appropriately presented. There's all sorts of things which are to'eva, and yet the only word that people seem to use for it is abomination, which is a word which I don't think anyone else in English has ever used in any other context other than the abominable snowman. I don't think I've ever heard the word abominable or abomination anything. So we have to find a better word. In the case of to'eva, I'm not sure what that is. I think it's tzarech iyun, we need to work out what that word is. But in the case of tzedek, I'd like to suggest fairly. But tzedek tishpot amitecha, judge your friend fairly, with fairness. Tzedek is fairness, it's balanced, it's fair. Tzedek too. Justice, fairness. I'm also, you know, I'm a Libran, so I like the idea. I was born on Yom Kippur, actually, so I like the idea of being balanced and fairness. That fits my character. There was actually an interesting shaila. There's a very technical halachic shaila that comes on bar mitzvah boys, which is, do we count when you become a bar mitzvah from the day that you were born? Meaning, if you were born at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then the minute it hits shkia on the day of your birthday, that's when you're 13. Or do we count the eight to eight? We count in 24-hour periods to the time that you were born. Now, for most people, it makes absolutely no difference at all. But I was born on Yom Kippur, so it's an interesting shaila. I was born in the middle of Yom Kippur, so do I become 13 at the beginning of Yom Kippur, or actually in the middle of Yom Kippur? Whatever. That's not for now. That's for whatever we did. It's too late now to worry about it. So until I reach my second bar mitzvah, we can talk about it then. So what does it mean? But tzedek tishpot amitecha. So Rashi says, number two, but tzedek tishpot amitecha, kamashma'o. As it sounds. What does as it sounds mean? Who is this pasuk talking to? A judge. If you're a judge, don't favor the weak, don't favor the strong, judge everybody fairly. That's kamashma'o. But there's a problem with apshat. What's the problem with apshat? There's a word in the pasuk that doesn't seem to fit with the concept of being a judge in a court, which is amitecha. Who a judge is not allowed to have amitecha. If you're a judge in a courtroom and somebody that you're close to or related to comes up, that's it, you have to withdraw from the case. My mother-in-law for many years was a judge in England, in London, and my father-in-law was a police surgeon. He gave evidence for the police, and in the end my mother-in-law had to completely change the circuit she was on because my father-in-law kept coming up and having to give evidence in the court, and it was very awkward. She had to stop and that. So if you don't have friends in court, there are no friends, that's his expression, there are no friends in court. So Rashi brings a second chat, which is wouldn't he change? That's a good shaila, but then we can talk about that another time. But davar acher, an alternative chat, havidan es chavercha lachaf zchut. Oh, that's what we're familiar with. Havidan es chavercha lachaf zchut. Judge your friend, chavercha. There comes the word amitecha, chaver, lachaf zchut. And we'll see soon that there's a very big question which we're going to have to ask on this. On the two chatim and the psukim as to how they fit together. To judge your friend, what's the kaf schut? So the kaf is from the moznaim, from the scale. The kaf is the one side or the other side. And there's a chov, and there's a schut. There's a merit and a demerit. So you incline towards the merit when you're judging your friend. Okay, where does Rashi get this from? Straight out of the Gemara. The Gemara in Shavuot, in number 3, says, Tana Rabbanon, Meshibetzedek, Tishbet Amitecha, Shelo Yehei Echad Yoshev, Ve'echad Omed. If you're a judge, you shouldn't have one of the litigants you allow him to sit, but the other one has to stand. Echad Medabe Kol Tarcha, one of them gets to say his whole piece. Ve'echad Omed, on the other one, he gets told, Ktari Dvarecha, quick! You have to say it quickly. Everyone has to get their fair day in court. That's the first pshat, says the Gemara. Davar acher, alternatively, so you see where Rashi is getting that from, the two pshatim there. When the Rambam brings this down, in number 5, let's skip four for a second, when the Rambam brings this down in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he introduces some interesting points that we're going to have to pick up on. Have a look at number 5. HaMitzvah HaKuf Ayin Zayin. Mitzvah number 177. Hishan Itzdavu HaDayanim. So he goes straight to the first chat, the Dayanim. This is a mitzvah for judges. Our command in L'Hashvot Bein Ba'alei Dinim, to make equality between the litigants. Shien Nishma Kol Echad Mehem Im Orach Tvarav. Everyone has to have his full say, or whether it's long or whether it's short. But who Omru Litaleh B'tzedik Tishpot Amitecha or Ba'a Perish B'Sifra, and he brings the Sifra. Shelo Yehei Echad Medabe Kol Tzarcha Ve'echad Oymelo Ketzad V'recha. Just like we saw from the Gemara, everyone has to have their fair share. V'zot achat min hakavanot shekolel aleihem atzivu. But that's just one of the meanings of this mitzvah, says the Rambam. Ubo gam kein, and he brings a second interesting explanation. Shekol ish mitzuva ladun din Torah kashi yodeabo. everybody has an obligation, if they're able to get involved to solve a dispute, which is interesting. It's kind of the flip side of last week's here. Last week we said you're not allowed to be a Baal Machlokas. This week we say, actually more than that, if you can resolve a dispute, there is a Torah mitzvah to resolve a dispute. You have to try and solve people's arguments. And we see from here that even one person can be a judge, even though we have three. That's in case one of them doesn't know what he's talking about. And then he brings the final one. There's another explanation that you have to judge your friend favorably. Now I'd say lakavschus means favorably. You can only explain what he did for the good and for the well, etc. And he says, "Ukfar hitbaru mishpatei mitzvah zo." But this, the details of this mitzvah are explained by makomad mufuzarim min haTalmud. You have to go looking around the Gemara. You'll see all the halachot. We'll see soon some of them. Now, I want to ask you first a question. We have two basic understandings of this mitzvah. One of them is for a judge. When you see people, you have to judge them fairly. Everyone has to get the fair share. No one can be given an advantage. On the other hand, another pshat in the same mitzvah is judge your friend favorably. How can they both go together? How can they both be coming out of the same pasuk? Aren't they contradictory? Meaning, when a judge is judging a case, there is no concept of judging people favorably. There's no concept of dan lekaschus. If a judge is sitting there looking at the evidence and saying, well, you know, let's be done like a schuss. You know, he threw a knife, but maybe he was just trying to, you know, open some packaging. It slipped out of his hand, and maybe he was practicing for the Olympics. I don't know what. If a judge starts doing that, this is like nonsense. You have to go on the evidence before. You can't start interpreting and extrapolating maybe this, maybe that. So how do you get from the same words? I understand if there were two psukim, one posik speaks to a judge and says, you judge fairly, and another posik says, and if you're not a judge, you can be done the kastros. But it's not. It's one mitzvah. And I want to ask, and I'm not going to answer this yet, how can the same mitzvah seem to be doing two different things? You had a question, Mrs. Vahla?
Maybe you are involved. Maybe you've got something to do with it. And Shalom Bayis is a big message.
I understand, but
you give in a bit.
But does the judge do that? Does a judge give in a bit? When a judge is judging, even in Shalom Bayis, but it's the same person. This posik is speaking to, it seems, in two voices. One to him, or her, and it seems to be saying different things. Yes?
How does it address the concept? Conflict.
What do you mean conflict? When you're conflicted. Right, that's part of the question. Which means that there seems to be a conflict in there that you're being a judge and also something that a judge is not allowed to be. That just expresses the question in a different way. We will answer that question, or at least I'll suggest an answer as we go through the class, but I just wanted to raise that. Yes?
Doesn't this apply in cases of suffering?
Oh, we'll see what suffix means, and we'll see what, yes, absolutely, but we'll see what kind of suffix that is. Meaning, we'll see soon that this is not actually about judging people. It's not about judging people. It's about judging circumstances. And we'll see that there's a very big difference. Nobody is allowed to judge any other person. Look what says in Pirkei Avos. Don't judge any other person until you have stood in their shoes and been in their place. And since no one is ever in anyone else's place, how can I know your upbringing and your background and what your influence? And no one can judge anybody. It's a terrible thing to be judgmental. So what's he telling me? But he's telling me, Tishbot. I have a mitzvah, even though I'm not a judge. I have a mitzvah tishbot. I have to judge. I'm not allowed to say, oh, who am I to judge? I have to judge. But what am I judging? That's we'll see soon. I'm not judging the individual. We'll see soon what I am judging, and we'll see your safek point is very pertinent. So that's one question I'm not going to answer yet. You had a question over there?
Well, I say you judge your friend before he gets to the court.
Well, yeah, but it still doesn't answer the question. What is the judging?
Okay, what?
Yes.
We use the word abomination quite often.
Oh, okay. I'm not getting into American politics. Right. I'm not getting into that now. Number six. Okay. Let's raise a separate question. Is this mitzvah a Torah mitzvah or a rabbinic mitzvah or a midah tova? What is this? Is this a mitzvah minah Torah? What would you say, yes or no?
Yes.
So yes, it's awesome. How much clearer can you get? Look at number six. Says the Shari Tshuva, yesh alecha lahatzis ha-sofek, this is your point. If there is a doubt, you have to resolve it. Ulahachriyo lachafasut, and to resolve it favorably. Kama sha'amru rabbeinu zichron livracha, hadan et chaveru lachafschutz. This is alluding to what I said at the beginning. If we judge our fellow people favorably, hamokim yadinehu lekatzchutz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge us favorably. We'll have to see what that means as well. And the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, goes on to say here, v'hu mitzvat ase min ha-Torah. Cool. It's a mitzvat min ha-Torah. Shene emar, as it says. V'tzadik tishpot ha-mitzvecha. What could be clearer? However, it's not so clear. Have a look in number seven. Musical accompaniment to the shir. It's nice. It's like, you know. But we should remember to turn there. I'm the worst culprit. I usually forget to turn my phone off as well. But it's always good to remember. Is it indeed a mitzvah min ha-Torah? Have a look in number seven. This is where people are most familiar with this idea. Yeshuv ben Parachya Omer, Havidamis kol ha'adam lekaschutz. It's interesting that if you ask people, do a survey, ask people in the street, where do we find an idea of being done a kaschut? I think most people would say Pirkei Avos. They wouldn't think, well, Shnei Emar, it's a pasuk in the Torah, but Tzedek Tishpot Amitecha. So Pirkei Avos says, Donis HaKol Adam LeKaschus. And if you look in the Rambam there, in number 8, he says, Tzarich Bederech HaChasidus Shitzhavim LeKaschus. It's a Derech Chasidus. Like all of Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is speaking not about basic mitzvah requirements. Pirkei Avos doesn't speak and say, make sure you keep Shabbos, make sure you keep kosher, don't speak Lashon Hara. It goes above and beyond. You know, greet everybody with a smile. If you don't greet everybody with a smile, it's not that you're doing an Aveira, it's just that you're not being an advanced personality. Maybe Pirkei Avos speaking to a Talmud Chacham, maybe that's obligatory for certain people. Look in number 9, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah in the Halachas dealing with a Talmud Chacham. How should a Talmud Chacham behave? He said, Talmud Chacham lo yehetzayeh. Talmud Chachamim the Lord answers, shout, the tzaveach and scream, the shav diburoi when they speak, ke behemoth v'chayim. You can't scream and shout like a behemoth, you have to talk benachas, the lo yig be a koila b'yosi, you shouldn't raise their voice too much. And the dibur benachas, they should speak gently in kolabrius with everybody. Umakdim shalom lekol adam, they should be the first people to say good Shabbos. They should be the first ones. Yes, absolutely. They should be chasing shalom lechol adam to everybody. Kedesha tehei rucham noche hemenu, so that everybody comes to appreciate them and like them, etc. V'dam et kol adam lekasvus. And they, the Talmud Chacham, this who from whom we demand this higher level of behavior, they should be done lekasvus. Well, one second. I thought it was a posuk. Shene emar. But Tzedek Tishpot Amitecha. The Pesukim are not speaking just to Talmidei Chachamim. Oh, if you're Talmid Chacham, you have to keep kashrus. But no, everyone else is just working on it. That's not how it works. The Pesukim speak to everybody. And Pirkei Avos speaks to, so which is it? Is it a mitzvah on everybody, or is it a mitzvah just on the Talmid Chacham, and for everybody else it's a midas chasidus? So there is a very clear textual cue and clue as to the difference between what we see in Pirkei Avos and what we saw in the Pasuk. And what is that clue? What is the difference between the way, for example, Rashi explains in number 2 and the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says in number 8, or number 7 I should say, the difference is very pointed. Whereas in terms of the mitzvah it says, Havidan es chavercha, your chaver amitecha. In Pirkei Avos it doesn't say chavercha. Who does it say? Kol Adam. Who is a Kol Adam? And there the Rambam picks it up in number 10. And number 10 is going to open up the whole sugya and explain to us how this all works. Look at number 10. Havidanis kol ha'adam lekavschutz. You have to judge kol ha'adam lekavschutz. Says the Rambam, Inyano. What does this mean? What are the details? She'im yihye adam. If there is a person, she'eina yodua lecha. You don't know who they are. They're just a random person you see in the street. Loi teida, you do not know ha'im tzaddik hu, if they're a tzaddik, which we'll have to define, or a rosha, which we'll have to define. V'tireu oisemase, and you see them doing something, or oimedavar, or saying something. She'im yufurash ba'ifma harehutai. If you explain it in a certain way, it could be positive, could be good. And if you judge it in a different way, it could be bad. You just don't know. Says this mitzvah is a midas chasidus. Explain it favorably. Why think bad of people? Even though you really don't know much about the case. Think about it. You don't know what they did. It could be this, it could be that, it could be the other. You don't even know who they are. You have no way of judging in any way whatsoever. The Rambam is saying, therefore, there is no mitzvah, tishpot. How can you be a judge with no evidence? You have no evidence. It could be this, it could be that. You have just what you saw, which could be many different things, and you don't know the person. Says the Rambam, you know something, in those circumstances, you can't judge. But, you know, be a glass half full person in the world. Don't be a glass half empty person. Pashu could tell you. Tachshabara, why think bad of people? But, I would add, this is not a judgment. I didn't conclude anything here. And I am not obliged to act in my life on that basis. For example, let's say I see someone, some person, I don't know who they are, and it looks to me that they're stealing. I see them walk into a shop, like the example I gave last time. They pick up some yogurts off the shelf in the supermarket, they look around, put them in their bag, and they walk out. I don't know what happened there. Maybe they're stealing. Maybe they're just switching some yogurts they bought that were out of date last week, and the guy told them, just come in later on and switch them for new ones. That happens all the time. I don't know. I don't know who the person is. I have no way of coming to any conclusion on this circumstance, other than like the Smith's Chassidus, which is, you know something, why think bad of people is probably fine. But when the guy comes to me tomorrow afternoon for a job interview, I don't know. He could well be a thief. I have no mitzvah to be dalakav schus in that sense. There's no tishpot, there's no mishpat there. I'm just kind of being positive. But when the guy comes in for a job, then I'm absolutely not obligated to assume that he did not steal. I have to check it out much further. And we'll see that there are many different scenarios. Sometimes in life we're looking at a kol adam. We've no idea who they are. But you know something, don't walk around being negative. That's really what the Rambam's saying. Don't walk around being negative and cynical about everything. Be positive. But you've no mitzvah to be a friar, and we'll see how this works in a minute. For example, sometimes you do see people that you know, and it looks like they're doing things, and you're not judging them, but you have to judge the scenario. Let me give you some examples. Extreme ones. You see your rabbi sitting in McDonald's eating cheeseburgers. Cheeseburgers. Not good. You walk past McDonald's and you look in, it's trade McDonald's, you're living in wherever it is, and the rabbi's sitting there with other people and he's eating something. You know, what is going on here? What am I looking at? What am I seeing here? That's one kind of question. How far do you go to kind of, well, maybe he's in a meeting with somebody, he had to meet somebody in McDonald's, who knows, people have to meet, I have to meet. When I used to be a lawyer, and I had to, there were no kosher restaurants in the town, in the centre of London when I was a lawyer. I asked many poskim different questions. They said, yes, you can eat in places, in trade places, you just have to just make sure that obviously you have a little bit of a salad, you have a bit of cucumber, you have a bit of something. And we went through all the shaila, and there are many from Jews eating in trade places, they're just not eating trade. That happens, maybe less in America, but it happens certainly in London. In fact, I went out for many client lunches. Going out with clients was obviously very, very important. And I always ate the same kind of cucumber, half a tomato, and this, that, and the other. One of my clients said to me once, he said, you know, I've been out with you many times, you always eat the same things. These are like vegetables. They said, I assume that's for religious reasons. I said, yes, you know, I keep kosher and all that. He said, forgive me for saying so, but if this is what you eat, why are you not a lot thinner than you actually look? Good silence.
60 years ago in America, people ate in
farm. Right. Right, right. They're doing that. So what's going on when we see the rabbi? Let me give you another case, which is opposite. Your next door neighbor, who is not religiously observant, invites you for dinner. Can you eat there? Obviously not. They don't keep kosher at all. Ah, but you see them running around the stores, the shops. You know, they're looking for this heksher, looking for that heksher. Do you now assume, oh, so good, Baruch Hashem, they're keeping kosher now. I can eat there now. Do you assume that? Is that the assumption you make? I once had a miser that happened to me. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but you couldn't make this up. If I told it to you, then stop me. I was once invited as a junior lawyer by one of my partners for dinner, and he said they'd make us dinner. And I said to him, really don't go to any bother, because you know, my wife and I are very strict, we're very fussy. Obviously it was a non-Jewish partner, non-Jewish law firm, we won't really be able to eat anything. We'll have a drink, we'll have a glass of Coke, we'll have this, we'll join in the dinner. But he said, no, nonsense, I will research it, I'll make you something you can eat. This wasn't the fellow who could take, he wouldn't take no for an answer. So we went away, and I said to my wife, this is going to be a disaster, I can't see any good coming out of this. So we went to the dinner, and he said to me very proudly, Jeremy, he said to me, quite a senior partner, I was very junior, I just joined the firm. He said, my wife and I have spent ages researching this. Like, and those days, this was 1991, too, I assume he went to the library, I don't know what he did, you couldn't just look it up on the internet. And he said, we found what Jews eat and what they don't eat, and we haven't made you shellfish, and we haven't made you pork, we've made you chicken, trade chicken, from a trade butcher, you know, and we on trade kalim, in a trade everything. Trade the oraita. So he said, we've made you this food. So he gave my wife and I the food, and I had to explain to him, you know, I'm very sorry, you know, even though it looks as though you went to all that effort, obviously it's not kosher, and we can't eat it. And he was a bit despondent, and it was very, very difficult. And I was there with some other junior people, and I thought I'd try and change the topic of conversation. So I looked on the wall, and there was a picture of a very beautiful floor-to-ceiling portrait of a Victorian-looking lady. So I said to him, Jeremy, that's an interesting portrait. Who is that? So the other junior fellow, my colleague, who was sitting across the table behind him, is going, no, what could possibly be wrong? So he turned around to me and he said, that's my mother. So I said, oh, that's very beautiful, you know, it's very old, is she? Right? He said, oh no, she said, she passed away today. I didn't know what to do. I said, well, I'm very sorry, you should have cancelled the dinner, you know, whatever. He said, no, the show must go on. The irony is, I lasted longer in the firm than he did. But at the end of the day, if you see somebody that is trait looking kosher, can you assume they're kosher? Let me give you an even harder example. You see a young woman from your community, you're driving through a slightly shady area of town, and a bit sketchy area of town, you see, well, there's a lot of drugs going on, and you know this is and you see a young girl from the front community, and she's looking around, seeing if anybody's there, and she runs into to a shop, and you stop the car, and you're looking in, and you're across the road, and you see her talking to a very, inappropriate looking fellow, and he gives her a little bag of something, and she looks around, puts it in her thing, and she runs out, looks around, and runs up the street. What did you just see? Now, I'm not judging anyone individually. It's not for me to judge. But I do need to know what happened here. Why do I need to know? Well, maybe she's babysitting my children tomorrow night. Is that relevant? Maybe somebody calls up tomorrow and says, oh, we're putting together a shidduch for this young lady. Is there anything about her that you think we ought to know? Well, is there? Is there anything about her? I can't just ignore this. So how does that play in? And we'll see soon. In all of these cases, they're not a kol adam. They're not a kol adam, they're a chavero, which you have understanding of, and we're going to have a mitzvah to do something with that. So carry on with the Rambam in number 10. Aval, says the Rambam, im haya ish yadua, if it's someone you know, shehu tzaddik, and they're a tzaddik. What does tzaddik mean? I mean, who's a tzaddik? Ain't tzaddik for olam. There's nobody in the world who's never done an aveira. So that's not what tzaddik means. Says the Rambam, mufursam b'maaseh hatov. It is well known that they do this correctly, that they perform this right, they act appropriately. V'nira lo, and you see them, maaseh, doing something, shekol tchunosav yoru ale yosa maaseh ra, that almost everything about it looks terrible. The only way to explain it positively is that a bedoichak rav ma'od is very far-fetched, uba esharad rachoka, and very unlikely. Tzarech lefarish otakotov, you have an obligation. Tzarech, you have a mitzvah, you have a chiyum. to explain it positively. Since there is some possibility of it being good, it's not mutter, it's osser. Here we're talking about itter and heter. It's osser to suspect them. Even though it's 99% bad, it's osser. It's asur to suspect them. But about this, it is said, if you're choshek sherim, you deserve to be chayv, you have chayv malchus. Oh, where do we get that from? So, so this person is a tzaddik. What does that mean that they're a tzaddik? So first of all, it doesn't mean that they're a perfect individual. So Rav Berkovitz, when he taught us this in many years ago when I was in Kollel with him, Yitzchak Berkovitz, he said it's very poshut that tzaddik rosha, and we'll see also beinoni, goes according to the specific issue. Meaning, there are people in this world who are tzaddikim for certain things. What does that mean? It means that you know them, because they're chavercha, they're not kol adam, it's not like you don't know. You know that they just don't do that. You can say with absolute certainty that, you know, okay, everyone has yetzer horas, but they just don't do that. I mean, I know a lot of people in Yerushalayim, and I know I can tell you hand on heart, they just don't eat shellfish. They just don't. They just don't. Would I put money? Yes, large amounts of money. Large amounts of money. They're just eating shellfish. So if I see them in a shop, in a seafood shop, and it looks as though they're eating shellfish, they're not. They're just not, because they don't do that. Maybe they changed. Maybe they suddenly went off the boil overnight. This, you know, fellow that I know, Thomas Chochum in Harnov, whatever, maybe now he gets to eat shellfish. The answer is no, because the person has a chazakah, they have a chazakah. We work on the basis of chazakah. What's chazakah? If something is in place today, I can assume halachically that it's still in place tomorrow, as long as there's no reason for me to assume otherwise. You see this in Hilchos Gittin. If somebody gives me a get to give to his wife in Los Angeles, says, please take this to Los Angeles as my shaliach and give this get to the woman. So I fly again on the plane and I go to Los Angeles and 4 days later I'm in Los Angeles, I give her the get. How do I know that the man is still alive? Maybe, God forbid, he passed away, maybe God knocked over, who knows? The answer is no. I can assume if he was alive 4 days ago, he was in good health, then I can assume chazakah, he's alive today. Halachically, I'm allowed to assume that. And so is she. They don't have to check. Obviously, if I left the guy Nebach, you know, in hospital and he looked very, very bad today, that's a different scenario. I'm allowed to, every time you take one foot in front of the other, you assume the ground is still going to be there. It's a chazakah. How do you know? There are people in this world that are so anxious they don't assume anything. You can't live like that. You have to assume this. What's that? What's that?
If he's sitting in a trade restaurant eating what appears to be children.
That's not a kasha on a chazakah. If you have a chazakah and there's something looks strange, it doesn't break your chazakah until it's repeated. If repeatedly you keep seeing again and again, then you have to find out what's going on. But he has a chazakah. But, says Rav Berkovitz, and this is important, that doesn't mean this person's a tzaddik for everything. Meaning, I know people, that same person who I know in my mind to be a tzaddik gomor in terms of eating shellfish, in terms of parking in legal places on the road, they're not tzaddik gomor. They're not. But maybe, you know, they're parked outside Berman's Bakery, double parked and blocking the road. Maybe there's a sudden urgent pikuach nefesh need for bread. And he has a dying, you know, relative who has to eat bread. If he doesn't eat bread, then he's... No, come on. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. This person's not a tzaddik for that. We'll see maybe what they are in a minute. So says the Rambam, if you know they're a tzaddik, then you must assume they're still a tzaddik. And we'll see an example in the Gemara of that. And you have an obligation, we have a chiyuv min haTorah, to assume that they're in that area, they're still a tzaddik, and therefore whatever I saw here, it wasn't what it looked like. There's a maestro, Rav Shimon Schwab in New York. So he walked on the subway and he walked past a fellow eating trefa hot dogs from his kela in Washington Heights. So in Washington Heights, the Balabatim don't eat trefa hot dogs on the subway. Again, nobody's perfect. Everyone has their yetzer horas. Even Yekim have yetzer horas. Somewhere, deep, deep, deep down, it won't come out much. But they don't eat trefa hot dogs. So Rav Shimon Schwab, he looked at it, he said, you know, whatever's happened here, I don't understand, there's something going on here, there's more to this than meets the eye. A few days later, so he gets a call to visit this fellow in hospital. He goes to the hospital, and this fellow's lying there in the bed, and he says, look, I have a bleeding ulcer, I have problems, and I have attacks and they're getting worse, and the doctor told me if I have an attack I must put food into my system within a very short period of time, otherwise it could be very dangerous for me. He says, Rabbi, you'll never guess the kind of things that I've had to eat in order to avoid this terrible medical problem. And I was thinking, I can guess a few things, maybe. But at the end of the day, that's an example. He won't eat tray for hot dogs. He's a tzaddik for that. Carry on in the Rambam.
Why doesn't he carry food around with him?
Okay, fine. You can ask Kashas. You can never ask Kashas on a mitzvah. He didn't.
Usually,
he didn't.
That,
you know, it says,
take
it says, Chochem Ein of Barosha. A tzaddik he was, a chacham he wasn't. Okay? Fine. V'chein. V'chein im haya rosha. If the guy was a rosha, then he's pasimu masav, and he's well known for being a rosha. And again, this doesn't mean that he is a rosha. Who are you to say that someone is a rosha? Like, as an individual, how does anyone know what their background is? You could have had a terribly difficult upbringing and be still, you know, be not keeping this or that, but be in many ways not a rosha at all. Says the Rambam, the Achakachrinuhu Oisemase Shirin Oisav Kula Moiras Shehutoi, and I see them doing something that looks completely good. Ubot Sadev Sharud Rechayke, and there's only a very small ma'id, a very small chance, or rather, it's negative. But Sarichli Hishamer Mimenu. Look what the Rambam says. You have to take care, you have to guard against them. V'lo laha'amin botov. You can't believe anything good. Since it could be bad. Now listen to what the Rambam said. The mitzvah of Betzedek Tishpat Amitecha requires me to judge the tzaddik according to his chazakah, and also the rasha according to his chazakah. If I know this person next door, my next door neighbor, thoroughly delightful individual, and he doesn't keep kosher, I don't think he's a rasha as an individual. God forbid, he may have wonderful mitzvahs, but he doesn't keep kosher. For this mitzvah, he's a rasha. Okay, it's not personal. If he looks as though suddenly he's chasing Mahadrin, like, sorry, he doesn't keep kosher. Ah, maybe he'll change his chazaka. Maybe he'll say, do tshuva, go round, and I see that he's changed the pots and the pans, and he's gone to the... Okay, fine, people don't have to stick. Just like a tzaddik is not always a tzaddik, a rosh is not always a rosh. But I have to assume the mitzvah of Betzedek Tishvat Amitecha, amazingly here, is telling me not only can I not walk around in dreamy, you know, rose-tinted spectacles, like some people think, well, maybe that's not the mitzvah. On the contrary, here the mitzvah is to assume that it's bad, unless I know that it's going to be good. But what about the middle case? Look at 11. Look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Imhu min habeinoinim. Oh. Because most people are not totally tzaddik for anything and totally rosha. He's a beinoini. What's a beinoini? I say yizar min achet. He tries to avoid the chet. Upamim yichshelubo. But sometimes he doesn't get it right. Sometimes he stumbles. So what should you do? Let's take, you know, I think most religiously observant people are a beinoinim for maybe Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, some people you can imagine would never say a word of Lashon Hara. They're tzaddikim. I don't know so many people like that. I know a few. Some people are rasha'im to Lashon Hara. They're Baalei Lashon Hara. I don't know many people like that either. Most people are beinoinim, meaning they try, they know it's wrong, they try most of the... But occasionally things slip out that shouldn't come out. So what should you do? Yesh alecha lahafes hasafek. You have to try and work out this suffix. L'hachriu l'kavaschus. Says Rabbeinu, you have to try and be positive about it. K'moshe amru b'seinu zichron libracha, hadan es chaver l'kavaschus, hamokim yidgen l'kavaschus. Try and judge people favorably if you can. But who mitzvahs asim in HaTorah, it's still a mitzvah, it's not a minas chassidus, because you do know this person. A beinoini is not a situation you don't know. You know them, they're a beinoini. But, and here's the but. Vim hadava noitzel kav chayva. But at the end of the day, says Rabbeinu Yonah, if it really looks bad, you have to leave it as a question mark. Don't decide it's bad, but you can't decide it's good. Meaning, if they're a beinoini, you have to do a real shikul. What does it look like? Is it more good than bad? Is it more bad than good? Meaning, if they're a tzaddik and it's 99% bad, it's still good. And if they're a rosha and it's 99% good, it's still bad. But if they're a beinoini, which is many people for many things, well, you really have to do a little bit of, well, what does it look like? Take the girl in the shop. with the drugs or not drugs, and the shidduch inquiry. Like, can I say about this girl? She's a nice girl. She's from the community, but she's a young person. I know her a little bit, but I'm not like very close. I'm making up the case. I'm not thinking of anyone in particular. Can I say about her that she's a tzaddik when it comes to drugs? It would never possibly cross my mind. It could never ever be that such a person would be involved in taking drugs. Can I say that? I unfortunately don't think you can say that. I don't think you can say that because the matter is that people are not. She might be, and I don't know. But at the end of the day, I can't say that she's a tzaddik. I don't think she's a rosha. A rosha would be a drug addict. If you see a drug addict and it looks as though they're buying drugs, well, what do you think they're doing? Maybe they're buying for someone who's... No, they're not. They're buying drugs for themselves because that's what drug addicts do. And I'm not judging them as individuals, but that's the circumstance. I can't pretend it's otherwise. I would be wrong to. I won't be able to protect myself, my family, anybody. But this girl, I think, is not a tzaddik. She's not a rosha. She's probably a beinoni. Meaning, I really don't know. Maybe she does. Maybe she. I really don't know. So what can I do? Just judge on the circumstances. Now, what do I? How do I act on that judgment? That's a different question. Which is, at the moment, this mitzvah is just telling me what is happening here. And what the mitzvah is telling me, I think, with this girl is, she might be taking drugs, and I don't know. But, what do I do? That's not this mitzvah. There are other mitzvahs. There are other mitzvahs. Do I confront her and talk to her about it? Do I get involved to try and help her by speaking to someone who can get... What, that's a whole different shaila. That's nothing to do with this mitzvah. What do I say on the shidduch? Do I say, I don't know, which is true. I can't tell them that she's a drug addict. That would be a terrible thing to say. I can't say that there's not... I don't know what to do with the shidduch situation. I'm not sure. It'll depend on the circumstances, because you'll have to know more about... Maybe the answer is, I need to know more. Maybe you'll have to say, look, you know, I've had mixed feelings in the past. I really don't know. I don't know what you'll say. I'm not paskening anything. In this shidduch, generally, I'm not paskening anything. I'm not a posek. But you have to think very carefully. When it comes to shidduch inquiries, there are some things that should come out at the beginning. There are some things that need never come out. And there are some things that should come out, but not at the beginning, but somewhere down the line, because if they come out right at the beginning, then maybe they won't happen and it could happen. But if they come out a bit later, maybe people will be able to weigh it up better. So I don't know what to do in that case, but Tzedek Tzimra Lami Techa, I think, tells me I have to question. If she's babysitting my kids tomorrow night or my grandchildren tomorrow night, I think I might have to do something about that. Okay? I can't just pretend it's okay. If she comes to me for a job which involves certain level of trust, of trustworthiness, I have to look into it more. I can't just assume she's a tzaddik. It's not correct. And I think this answers our first question, which is, how can it be that this mitzvah on the one hand tells the judge to judge fairly, and on the other hand tells you and I to judge favorably? They're not the same. And the answer is, there is no mitzvah to judge favorably. The mitzvah on everybody is to judge fairly. And if they're a tzaddik, the fair way to judge them is based on their chazaka as a tzaddik. And if we just judge fairly, then very often that will be favourably. But not always. And therefore, there is no mitzvah to just assume that every case is rosy, because that's not what the Torah wants us to do. It's we have to be fair. And very often we're not fair. Very often we're quick to judge negatively, and that's what the mitzvah is coming to address. Let me bring you a beautiful Gemara in number 14, and then we'll finish with a couple of other issues. The Gemara in number 14, very timely for this time of year, raises a story. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Tana Rabban, Hadan chaveru lekavtzchus. If we judge other people fairly, favorably, we do discuss how that works. Danin oisa leschus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge us also for schutz. Because at the end of the day, you know, we did things wrong, but we did a lot of things right. And there has to be an overall. Rav Soloveitchik was very famously said, vidui, when we see from vidui maisa in last week's parasha, when the farmer does vidui maisa, of all the things he's done right, I gave this to the poor, and I gave this to the lady, and I gave this to... You see, vidui is not just about standing up and saying, well, all the things we did wrong. Vidu is saying, giving an account of the things that we did. This went wrong, this worked better, this isn't working at all, this worked great this year, etc. It's an overall thing, it's a complex cheshbon. Says the Gemara, Ma'aseh, the Adam Echad Shiyarod Migalil Ha'elyon, there was a person who came down from the Upper Galilee, the Nitzcha Etzel Balabayit Echad Bedarom, and he went and hid himself out to a Balabayit in the south, Shalosh Shanim, 3 years. And the Ga'onim add that this person, the Masorah was, that this person who came from the north as a worker was Rabbi Akiva in his younger days, Akiva ben Yosef, okay? And the person who hired him was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, who was the Gadol Hador, one of the richest people in Israel. Very interesting story. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, if you look into his life, it's a very fascinating contemporary story. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus grew up in a non-religious home. If you look in the Gemaras there, and his father, Hurkanus, was very unhappy when he decided to go off to yeshiva. He went off to learn with Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. And his father disinherited him. And he said, I had in mind for you a life in business. You were following my footsteps, going to the family firm, and look at you, you're a yeshiva bocha, you're going to sit in kolel all your life, you're never going to do anything productive. He cut him off. And it's a very sad story. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, he was like almost like an orphan. He learned in yeshiva, and one day the Gemara says that his father Hurkanus said he'd come and visit him. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he put him forward to the front of the yeshiva, in front of his dad, and he gave the shir. And his dad was crying. He was felling shepping nachas. He said to the son, "I never realized this is what they did in yeshivas. This is amazing. I had all these ideas of what they did do, what they didn't do. Look at you, Baruch Hashem. I realize now. I'm very proud of you." Okay, very nice, happy ending, but not. Because the Gemara goes on to say the father and the son were reconciled. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus goes on to become the Gadol Hador, and he has children, and then his kid goes off the derech. Son of a rabbi with a non-from grandparent, and it's very tense. And the son goes off the derech, and he, we'll see now, wants to disinherit the son. There's like a symmetry going on, because the son doesn't want to learn anymore, the son wants to go into business. And therefore, you know, it's very interesting how the Gemara, Torah, as the Gemara says in many places, unlike Kahuna, which is a Yerusha, Torah is not a Yerusha, and there is no, that you don't inherit it from your parents or bequeath it to your children. Have a look at this source here. So he says, so Rabbi Akiva comes down to work for Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. 3 years. Now, second line. Erev Yom Kippurim. It was Erev Yom Kippur. Amalai, so he turns around to the boss and says to him, "Ten li schari, give me my money, ve'elech va'zunes ishti u'banai. And I'll go back to the north, to the Galil, and my wife let me go for 3 years. I need to go and give her the money. I need to go and show what I've done for myself in 3 years. Amalai said to him, "Eimi mos, I have no money." Which is a bit weird, because he's a very wealthy man. Amalai said to him, "Okay, tamely payrot, give me fruit." Fruit doesn't mean dafka, apples and oranges. It could be wheat and barley and grain, produce. Amalai, he said to me, said to him, "Eimi, really? Okay. Tamely karka, okay, I'll take some deeds for land. I'll take some title deeds for land. Eimi, no land. Tamely behema, can I take some animals? Eimi, no way. Tamely karim v'kastes, okay, I'll take bed linen. I've got to take something. I'll schlep something up with me. I can't go empty handed. Eimi, I have nothing for you." Fishel Caleb Lahirak, he threw his pack on his back. Bahalach Lebesa, he went back home. Pachinef, totally disappointed, depressed. But he's going to tell his wife. Okay, Rabbi Kiva's wife is very understanding, we know this, but there's a limit to understanding. 3 years and nothing to show for it. That was Erev Yom Kippur. La'acha haregel, after Sukkot, Nasal Balabais Scharoi Beyadus. The Balabais of Eliezer took the money. The Imoy Masu Gimel Chamorim, and three donkeys filled. Echol Shel Machol, one with food. Echol Shel Mishter, one with single malt scotch. Okay? The Echol Shel Minimagadim, and one full of Minimagadim, chocolates and sweets and candies, nice things. The Halach Lo Lebesa, and he schleps all the way north to the house of the worker. Acha She Achlu, after they eaten, Vashatu, and they drunk, Natan Lo Tzchar, he gives him the money. Amalai, he says to him, "Listen, I have a question for you. B'shasha amartli, when you asked me, 'Ten li schari, give me my money,' va'amarti, and I said to you, 'Ein li ma'os, I have no money,' which obviously is a strange thing to say because I have money. The Machash Tani, what did you think of me then? So here Rabbi Kiva replies, Amarti, I thought to myself, Shema Prakmati Bazon is Damalacha. Maybe you had a sudden cheap deal that came up. Vilakachta Bahem, and you used all the cash. Think about it. He asked him at the last minute, without warning, give me 3 years' money. Have you ever been caught in a situation where someone asks you for payment and you've got no cash in your wallet? Has that ever happened to you? Of course, it happens to people. He had no cash. He couldn't just go to the ATM and get out the cash. He had no money. So that's what I thought. Maybe you had no cash. And when you said to me, Teli behema, give me animals. And I said to you, Eli behema, I have no animals. But Machashidatani, what did you think of me then, with all the animals mooing and lowing in the yard? Amarati, I thought, Shema muzcheret biyadachem. Maybe they were leased out to people. I don't know who these animals belong to. Maybe they were free to give me. Bashar, Shamarati, and when you said to me, Taini karka, give me land. Amarati lecha, Eili karka, and I told you I have no land. But Machashatani, what did you think of me then? Amarati says, I thought, Shema muzcheret biyadachem. Maybe it's leased off to somebody else. I have no idea who this land belongs to. Maybe it wasn't yours to give. When I said I have no produce, the machashatani. So what did you think then? Amarti, I thought shema einu muusarot. Maybe they haven't had trumas and maestras taken from them, and they're just not available to be given to me right now. When I finally said to you, Eli karim v'kaspes, I don't even have bed linen. I have nothing to give you. The machashatani. What did you think then? What could you think? Amarati, so Rabbi Kiva says, I thought to myself, Shema Hikdish Kodachasav L'Shamayim. Maybe you gave away all your worldly possessions, and you gave them away L'Shamayim, you dedicated them to Tzedaka, you gave them to somebody else. And therefore you are now painless. Amalei, he said to him, Ha'avayda, which is like a Shavua on the Beis HaMikdash. He says, that's right. Kach, Haya. That's exactly what happened. I made a neder to give away all my property because of my son Hurkanus. Shaloi Afik Batara, because he wouldn't go into learning, and I disinherited him, and I to show him, I gave all my money away to show him you're not seeing a penny of it. Okay? But when I came to my friends in the south is always a code for chokhmah. He says, I realized that this is not the way to be mechanech, a child who is going off. Just to get angry and to disinherit him. I realized this was not the way forward. He tiruli kol nadarai, and they did have Torah nadarim, and I got my money back. And now I have my money, I can give it to you. The asa and you kashem shed ananda and tani leschus hamokiv yadin aschalaschus. Beautiful story. But you think of that story and how it impacts on what we said. Rabbi Akiva is faced with a few different choices to make. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus is a god of hador. He's a tzaddik for many things. It's Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara was very clear to say it was Erev Yom Kippur. Come on, who isn't making a little bit of an effort on Erev Yom Kippur? Everybody's making some effort. If you can't make an effort on Erev Yom Kippur, it's like oy va'avoy. And Rabbi Akiva says, look, I asked suddenly for 3 years' money without warning, and first he starts with reasonable alternatives. Well, maybe he had no cash, okay? It's reasonable. He doesn't start with a ridiculous suggestion. Maybe his animals are leased out, maybe his land is let out, etc. Eventually he's faced with a choice. Look, the guy says he's got no money. It's Erev Yom Kippur. He's a god of Hador. Either he's suddenly become the biggest lowlife imaginable. Who on Erev Yom Kippur would send a worker home after 3 years with no money? Who would be such a swindler to do that? Or he's given all his money away because he's made some kind of weird neder. Which is more likely? And Rabbi Kiva thinks, look, both of them are unlikely, but one of them is kind of impossible. How can it be that on Erev Yom Kippur you'd act this way? Therefore I went for the equally, or almost equally unlikely, the slightly less unlikely option, which is you gave your money away. It's a perfect example of, he's a tzaddik, I have to judge it favorably on this particular issue. Of course, every situation is different. we've seen, unfortunately, l'tzareinu, that there are certain areas in Aveira that you can't ever know whether someone is a tzaddik. There's been all sorts of scandals on all sorts of bases, and you can't turn around and say no one would ever do such and such a thing. In some areas, but some areas you can. And this area, Rabbi Kiva said, I felt that on Erev Yom Kippur you would never have acted in such a way. And therefore, I think, you know, one of the interesting examples of this, and I'll finish with this, is Bilam. Bilam is traveling on his donkey. And all of a sudden his donkey stops and starts crouching in the middle of the road. And he's hitting it and swearing at it and cursing at it. He said, and the donkey looks around and he says, come on, am I not your loyal donkey? What do you think? Can you be done with Kaskos? I've never done this before. Don't you think there might be some other circumstances that you're not aware of? And that's a perfect example of Danlekavskos in a funny way with the animal. And I think in many ways, a lot of people out there are loyal chamorim. They're people who wouldn't act in this way. They wouldn't do this kind of thing. We have an obligation to be Danlekavskos, whether it's tzaddik for certain things, but also to be betzedek tishpot. Not to just assume people are doing good things all the time. Someone is a tzaddik for this, he's a beinoni for that, he's a rosha for how he drives around Yerushalayim. Yeah, we all know that, okay? And therefore each circumstance has to be judged exactly, carefully, fairly. And at the end of the day, as we said at the beginning, the Rambam says part of this mitzvah is you have to judge. You have to be a little bit of a judge. Not personally, but you don't know how to, you can't walk through life with blindness. You have to know what's going on around you, and then hopefully you'll be able to make good choices, sound choices, wise choices, at the same time as making fair choices. Okay, I wish everyone a Tziv Chsima Tova. I will see you, please God, on Tom Gedalia, and we will move on from there.